are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode four, Thursday, September the 24th, and some Flint talk with the proud Flint native today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Thanks for spreading the word and listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Got some good feedback from our interview with Brian about his addiction, his compulsive gambling, and wanted to thank you guys for giving him some kind words about that. He got back to me today and said he heard from some of you guys. So we appreciate spreading the goodwill. Whenever we do have guests on, it'd be great if you guys appreciate them, to give them follows on Twitter and to thank them for coming on the show, to let them know that the time spent with us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast was not time wasted. As listeners of the show know, it usually never is. Not going to say never, but usually never wasted time. But today we're going to talk, of course, it's a Tyler Hero edition as he goes crazy for the Miami Heat. I got a little bit of a take on the ending of that game, Boston-Miami as well. We're also going to talk to James Edwards III of The Athletic, one of our favorites, a reoccurring guest, good friend of mine, about an update from Bubble Camp that the Pistons have right now in Detroit, and also just his thoughts as a Flint native watching the Western Conference Finals with his guys all over the court for the Lakers and the Nuggets. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Of course, check us out at @Play_Michigan Twitter account as well. We'd really appreciate that. I know that this was another tough day on Tuesday to stay focused. I'm sorry, on Wednesday in America with the events in Louisville. I don't have much to say other than let's get to work voting, try to change some things in time, maybe be better generations than the ones ahead of us. I don't know what else much to say about that. I'm sorry for those who are hurting. Of course, as a nation, we are all hurting to some extent right now. Even those of us on the opposite sides of the political spectrum. And I know that I can't identify with every single one of you guys that are listening out there in some larger ways. But yeah, just know that we're all kind of fighting a battle, and that my sympathies and heart goes out to those who are fighting those battles too, and especially the disenfranchised groups here in America. I think you know kind of where I'm going with all that. Again, not much else to say about that. And the strange transition to basketball incoming 3-2-1 right now. Miami gets the win on Wednesday night against the Boston Celtics, 112-109, taking a 3-1 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. This one is not over yet. We know that. We've seen enough 3-1 series lead, even in this NBA playoffs, of course, throughout professional sports, that in no way, shape, or form are we counting this one out. Boston needs to rebound, but they also need to rebound, right? Too many offensive rebounds allowed in big moments. I've been saying that for a couple years about this team. Glad to see that my thoughts get proven correct sometimes. Also need more depth. They got 8 points from guys outside of the top six on their team, and the sixth being 14 points for Gordon Hayward, but he's a bench guy in name only at this point, plays in crunch time. A bunch of unplayable young guys at the end of their bench. Also a bunch of first-round picks that aren't that great, and if they use those picks to pick players, they will become unplayable young guys in the next postseason as well. So not quite sure what the Danny Ainge plan is with all these assets that he's and again, you got to give him credit for the Jason Tatum move, and that was part of this plan of cooking up all these assets, but everything else, it hasn't seemed to go very well for the Boston Celtics. And again, gone very well in that they're in the second round. They're a young team that's got a lot of positives to look forward to. But at some point, and again, this is a team that should be very good for a long time, and maybe even hang some banners in Boston alongside all those other banners that Danny Ainge had stuff to do with on, as a player and as executive as well. So who am I to rip on him completely? But I mean, it's just the love fest for all things Celtics, all things Boston. It just sometimes we need to push back on that, especially from a town like Detroit here. Nice to see Brad Stevens struggle in the playoffs once again as well against a team that's not as good as his team talent-wise. But Eric Spoelstra, lest we forget, one of the better coaches in the NBA as well. The Heat win despite 27% shooting from three on Wednesday. The top four guys had all but 9 points for the Miami Heat. Of course, the biggest reason, Tyler Hero with 37 points. You've heard the stats about Magic was the only one at that young of an age. I think he's turning 21 fairly soon. Pistons missed out about a few picks on him. I was still advocating for Sekou. He was higher on my draft board than Tyler Hero, but Tyler Hero is certainly a guy that we all were looking at in the middle of the lottery as a potential possibility for the Pistons to pick up, and that proved to be the right decision for the Miami Heat for sure, as we are into the end of his rookie season, and he looks like a guy who's going to be a very good player for a very long time. 24 points for Jimmy Butler as well, 22 for Goran Dragic, and 20 for Bam Adebayo, another player the Pistons passed up on. Didn't just miss him, they actually passed up him for Luke Kennard. Bam holding his wrist in the last few minutes, not sure why he was still in the game there. We'll see his status going forward. But how impressive for Miami, of course, goes without saying. But this is also an indictment of the Milwaukees, the Torontos, the Bostons of the world, the Indianas of the world, these teams that were the quote-unquote contenders in the Eastern Conference. Let's not forget about that. Miami, good team, very impressive, extremely impressive. I can't come up with better adjectives than that. I do expect them to put up a good fight in the finals, but they are not so good and so dominating in the playoffs right now that they should be just running a train on every team in the Eastern Conference. But one more point I had, and I tweeted this already. I should save some of my great, great points off of Twitter and save them for the podcast here. But, man, the free throw contest at the end of games, hurry up and foul, preserve as much clock as possible. It's just not fun, especially knowing that the Elam ending is just sitting right there, right? We saw the All-Star game this year and how much fun that was to have that kind of ending. The TBT, the basketball tournament, every offseason or every summer is except for this past summer because of the pandemic, but it's very entertaining. We've talked about it in the past, the Elam ending where the clock gets to a certain spot and whatever the score is for the team ahead, you pick like 15 points or whatever number of points you want to pick is the new end score for the game. So the game ends when either team gets to that target score. I think that that's just where we're going with basketball. It's a brilliant idea, and it's going to happen in the NBA. It's probably not going to be for a while because the traditionalists, and I'm the biggest traditionalist out there in some ways, but even I see that this is a superior way to end basketball games, a more exciting way to end basketball games. The fouls, the free throws, who likes that? I don't know. Add that to the replays, and you get the longest games possible. I know I sound like your wife talking about how much time was left and how long is this taken, but it's knowing that there's this other well-thought alternative out there kind of makes the ends of these games not only – it's just not entertaining to watch guys free throws and then you're hoping they miss, and then, I don't know, maybe some of you guys still like the free throw contests, but count me out for those. Tonight, back at it in the Western Conference Finals, TNT for the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. 9 o'clock on the tip. Lakers up 2-1 in that one going in to Game 4. But we're going to talk more about that series and also a little bit about the Detroit Pistons, if you can believe it or not, with the Athletics, James Edwards III. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about rockauto.com, my favorite auto parts website in the world. There, I said it. Chain stores, they got different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low, the best part. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear, like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and that does not require a membership as well or an account login. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, maybe your third car, maybe your fourth car, maybe your fifth or sixth car, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com. They are always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the Joe Schmoes in the garage. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they won't know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by one of our favorites, James Edwards III of The Athletic. Sir, how's it going?
I'm doing well, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Always great to talk to you. There's not many people I would do this for when the game starts, but you're near that top of that list, my friend.
Yeah, as if I have no idea what you're up to on a Wednesday night, right at tip-off of the Eastern Conference Finals Game 4. I'm like, hey, you got a couple minutes to record, and James is such a mensch that he says yes and hops on for us. We really appreciate that. Let's get the Pistons out of the way first. They got the training camp, or whatever you want to call it, is going on right now, mini camp, bubble camp, whatever we're going with. You tweeted out a couple of notes. What's the latest with how things are going in New Center area right now?
Yeah, so apparently Justin Patton hurt his pinky finger on the right hand enough to have to get surgery. To anybody who's not a Pistons fan that just tuned into this, they're like probably like, who gives a shit? but if you're a Pistons fan, like there was some intrigue there. I mean, Patton was a guy that kind of lit up the G League. Tall, big man, can stretch the floor, block shots, something the Pistons need. Thon Maker is likely going to be an unrestricted free agent at some point this offseason, assuming the Pistons don't offer him whatever his number
qualifying
is.
Offer,
yeah, the right. I think it's like 3 or 5. I put good money that they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Casey said it the other day. He was looking forward to the matchup between Patton and Maker, and I would assume because somebody's roster spot could be on the line if things – shake out interestingly here over the next few weeks. So that's a little bit of a blow, and I'm going to assume that he's out for all the camp anytime you get surgery, even if it is just the pinky. But that was not confirmed. That's just an assumption. And then, mm-hmm. Tony Snell left. He probably had better things to do. when Dwayne said he was going to be there, I was a little surprised. But Tony's a guy that, I mean, he's kind of in the Kawhi – vein in terms of kind of seeming like a robot when it comes to basketball, and obviously they played together and know each other. There's something in that water. Jordan McRae apparently was there last week, which I didn't know, and he left for phase two, which makes a little bit of sense, a little more 5-on-5, more of a chance to maybe tweak something, and he's going to be an unrestricted where he is. I don't even know what to call it now. Technically, he's not an unrestricted free agent yet because the season's not over, but he is because it's October, and he's out of contract. So, I mean, that one made a little bit more sense.
Yeah, a couple of veterans there in those last two that you talked about that it's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want for the offseason, and the injury risk for the unrestricted free agent is too big. And then with Patton, I guess for a Pistons fan, you look at what happened with Christian Wood last year and you say, like, that's the absolute best case scenario.
Right.
And I don't think that Patton obviously has the upside. Maybe that Christian Wood does, but the injury history for Patton, and I know that was all knees and legs before, and this is a pinky, so it's a different situation, but obviously not the start that you want for a guy that, you know, it's a gamble, and there's no guarantee that he's really anything for the Pistons, but certainly a guy with some upside, former first-round pick. So we'll monitor that as it goes along, and I know James will have you updated with all that stuff. JL Edwards and then the Roman numeral 3 on Twitter. If you don't follow James and you're a Pistons fan at this point, I don't really know what to tell you, but there's the boilerplate give out of your Twitter handle that I feel like we need to do for our guests here. But kind of more importantly for, I know, James these days, it's like the James Edwards III Memorial Western Conference Finals right now that's going on in the bubble. We got the Denver Nuggets and the LA Lakers. It's like a Flint party.
Yeah.
And then you got family out in Colorado. I know. I think you're a Nuggets guy. It seems like it's maybe your Western Conference team too.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it? It's been good so far. Nuggets are crawling back into this one.
Man, I mean, I've loved, and I know. I think we might have talked about it a little bit at some point throughout the playoffs. But the Nuggets in general have been a blast to watch. Team has no quit. Just a lot of good low maintenance players to pair with the two stars that. Everybody around them fits kind of what they do best. It's been a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, like you said, I mean, there's Denver. My dad lives in Denver. He's lived out there for about, oh man, I want to say 5 years now, maybe four. So, I mean, he goes to a lot of games every time I'm in Detroit or I'm in Denver with the Pistons. Like, he comes out to the games. I don't stay at a hotel when I'm out there. I stay with him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you look at that roster, there's a guy from Flint. There's Gary Harris from mm-hmm. my alma mater. We had a class together before he went pro and made me think about what I'm doing with my life. and I mean, Jokic, one of the most exciting players to watch. Same goes for Jamal Murray. Yeah, I mean, you go down the list, there's a lot of fun guys to watch, and there's some connections to me and to a lot of the Pistons audience too. Yeah, it's been a blast, and I've loved every bit of it. The Nuggets probably should be up 2-1, but it's basketball, and Anthony Davis hit the dagger, and I think the Nuggets are in a good spot. I think they feel like I don't know if they feel like they've been the better team, but they definitely don't feel like they're outmatched.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the connections. I got one for you here, and I don't know if the guys in The Athletic are working on this one, or maybe you're working on this story too. But Nikola Jokic, his brother, older brother, used to play at UAD, at the University of Detroit Mercy, for 3 years, I believe, under Perry Watson at the end of his run with the Titans. And then Kevin Mondro, I believe, took over, and he might have played for McCallum at the beginning of his career too. So that's the random factoid that I found on Nikola Jokic. He has two older brothers, and even better than this, we can go Pistons here too. The reason that Jokic's brother came over and played at UAD is because this is 2004, and there was a fellow Serbian in Detroit. Darko Milicic comes over, gets drafted, buys a nice house in Rochester Hills, and Jokic, who's the first of the Jokic brothers, you know, obviously Nikola is a very young kid at this point, and the brother sees that Darko's over there, goes and lives with Darko, and plays for the Titans down in Callahan Hall. So there's your factoid for the day.
I did not know that. You definitely have dibs on that. So I had no idea. I didn't know that.
There you go. So there's a Detroit tie with Nikola Jokic, and who knows, maybe that led to him getting more focused on being an NBA player, and here we are.
That's
with,
good.
Detroit and the Nikola Jokic. But more importantly than that, with this series, the Flint ties. You talked about Monte Morris, and then you got the Lakers, of course, with JaVale McGee and Kyle Kuzma. So three guys from Flint, and we know about the past, if you're a Michigan resident, about the Flintstones with Charlie Bell and Mateen and Morris Peterson, of course, the name escaped me there for a second, but Michigan State, and I'm sure that was your team kind of growing up too. And first off, give us your background with Flint. I know you were born there. We talked a little bit about this off mic, but what's your background in Flint, and what does it mean, you know, to see these guys and representing your hometown at such a big stage?
Yeah. One thing you said I want to answer. I actually didn't grow up a State fan.
Okay, I didn't know
because
that.
Because my dad was a diehard State fan, I was a Michigan fan, just to like, so we had something to like.
Yeah, needle each other.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The moment I became a State fan, everybody around me was a State fan. One of my best friends, and still is, I mean, a really great friend of mine today, Alex Everard, if he listens to this, I have to give the shout out. Mm-hmm. Him and his family were State fans, and he had moved from Ypsilanti, which we'll talk about in a little bit, to Dexter. And we still hung out, and I went over his house, and Drew Neitzel dropped 30 mm-hmm. or 40 on. I always think it's Butler, but I don't, when I went back and tried to look, I don't think it was, but there was one game where Neitzel just went crazy. And I was like, all right, I need to stop fighting these urges and just be a State fan. Mm-hmm. So I was like 12 years old, and that's when I became a State fan. But yeah, so I was born in Flint. My mom and my dad are both from Flint. I was born there, lived there till like 5 or 6. Then we moved to Ypsilanti. And if you're not from Michigan and listening to this, Ypsilanti is basically Ann Arbor adjacent. It's little brother, right outside the city. Eastern Michigan's there. And it's Ypsilanti, not Ypsilanti, mm-hmm. For people who pronounce it wrong. And yeah, so I lived there until I was 14. Parents got divorced. My mom moved back to Flint. My dad moved to Westland and then St. Louis and then Denver. But so we moved back to Flint. I finished my last 3 years of high school there. She still lives there, so when I go home, I go there. But even on the weekends when I lived in Ypsilanti, we would go – I would either go to my cousins or my grandma's in Flint. So I was there all the time. And, yeah, I call it – that's home. I mean, obviously, but even though I also call Ypsilanti home, mm-hmm. Flint's where the roots are.
So, I mean, did you know JaVale, Kuzma, and Morris coming up at all? I know Monte played high school there. The other guys bounced around a little bit, although Kyle's doing a lot of stuff in Flint now, charitable work. And JaVale, I know after he won a title with the Warriors, I read an MLive story where he came back to the old one, I think is maybe his middle school, and brought the championship trophy. Did you know those guys at all when you were coming up?
No. So I'm a little older than, gosh, and I hate to say it because I'm scared to get older, but I'll be 29 in March, and I think they're both just turned 25.
Okay. Well, I know the feeling about that. So my sympathies there.
So never crossed paths in high school. Like I knew who Kuzma was from playing in the city. He wasn't a guy, and you know this, Matt, that was an obvious pro guy. Like he was a little mm-hmm. chubby. He went to a school called Bentley. Or was it Bendel? I think it was Bentley.
I believe it's Bentley.
Which was like
Burton Bentley, right? Yep, it's technically in Burton, right?
Yep, it's technically in Burton, which is basically Ferndale to Detroit, mm-hmm. Even smaller. And that's like a Class C or Class D. I mean, I think back then it was a Class C school. My grandma taught Spanish there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine now it's Class D. If it's still Class C, I'd be surprised. But he was a little chubbier, played there in high school. Competition's not great in that class. So he went under the radar. I went to a prep school in Philly, and then he really took off. Monty's from Beecher. You heard about Monty, mm-hmm. Saw Monty around. Great player. His story's interesting. The reason he didn't end up at Michigan State, Izzo kind of under-recruited him. And again, I don't know exactly why he under-recruited him, but Flint, my kind of class was and you know, Matt, you've been around Michigan basketball, mm-hmm. high school basketball in general. People that don't know this is a basketball state, in my opinion. If you're talking about from high school to colleges, this used to be massive. The talent that used to come out of here at the high school level. Mm-hmm. But it kind of slowed down, especially in Flint. Like my class, I would say is the last class, 2010, that was Keith Appling. Derek Nix was the year before him, and then after that it kind of died down. So I don't know if maybe Monty Morris was under recruited because kind of Flint basketball at that time wasn't what it was known for, and it was kind of dying down. But he didn't end up at State because Izzo under recruited him, and he didn't go to Michigan, I believe, because he played with Derek Walton in AAU and he beat him out for Mr. Basketball, but they both got offers from Beeline. I think there was only maybe room for one more, and I think Walton accepted it first. Mm-hmm. And then that's how he ends up at Iowa State, which is kind of another path for a lot of Flint players like Jim Grayer. Or is it Jeff Grayer? Sorry, Jeff Grayer. Mm-hmm. I think there's a few more throughout the years. But, yeah, so, I mean, these are guys – you heard about Monty. He used to pack Beecher. Kuzma was a little bit more under the radar. You didn't really kind of go watch Kyle Kuzma play, but Monty was a different story.
When these guys have passed through Detroit or you've been on the road, have you gone into the opposing locker room and talked to some of these guys? I don't remember if you've done stories. I know when Morris was here with the Nuggets, I think this was last season, he had a huge cheering squad there of people from Flint, and maybe the same for when the Lakers were here the last couple of years as well. Have you talked to these guys or maybe some people around Flint about them modern times and how they've kind of related to the city as time has gone on?
Yeah, no, definitely. Even throwing Miles Bridges into that crew, mm-hmm. Who also has a massive cheering section when he comes to Detroit. Yeah, I mean, these guys are – I mean, there's not a lot to kind of hang your hat on if you're from Flint, and to look up and see after kind of a little bit of a pause, to see the talent back in the NBA at the highest level, that's prideful to a lot of people. And mm-hmm. You hear the stories about how they give back to the community. I mean, Kuzma's – I mean, he's probably the most vocal about it. Like you said, JaVale obviously came back. And he's been back multiple times. His mom and his aunt, who are twins, were two of the greatest high school women's players in Michigan history at Flint Central, and Monty does his part as well. And like, they all have special connections to Flint because, and I think it's, you see me probably talk about it a lot on Twitter. Like anytime they do something, I'll like hashtag Flint. Cause there's like a bit of pride because anytime some, you, I hate, this is like my least favorite thing other than like, and you probably get this too. It's like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a sports writer. Also, you like, you write story, you go to the game, like write stories. I'm like, yeah, like, how do you even, like, you get those questions, like, oh, you can do that. And so it's like the same thing with Flint when you tell people, like, they're like, oh, where are you from? Like, I'm from Flint. And it's like the first thing they ask is like, there's two things I always ask. They're like, is the water still bad? And is it really that dangerous? And it's like, there's just such an overcast over the city. And people just talk down about it all the time. People have never been there, and people that have been there that maybe aren't as cultured as others and aren't used to kind of low-income areas. And it's not like that everywhere. So I think people from the city take pride when they make it out and are proud to represent where they're from because there's just always kind of dirt thrown on the name. And you really see it with these players. You see the pride. They mention the city whenever they can. And I think that's just something that everybody from there just does because it made them who they are today. And when people kind of shit on where they come from, like it kind of shits on the person. And like, I don't know if I'd be the person I am if I wasn't from there. And it's one of the most diverse areas that I've been to in Michigan. And you meet a bunch of, you have friends from all different walks of life, whether that's race, gender, rich, poor. It's just a really melting pot of a city, but it has its flaws. And because it has its flaws, people really like to pick those. And I think it kind of births, I think it brings everybody stronger. It's almost kind of like a brotherhood is like dumb to say, cause like that's with any city if you're from a place, but I don't think people like, if you're from Troy, I don't think there's that same level of pride in being from Troy, Michigan, as there is somewhere like Flint, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. And it shines through when these guys talk about it. And I know from knowing you like I do that it shines when you talk about it. And I know that you were the perfect guy to sum it up and tell us what this means as we're watching this Western Conference Finals, some great basketball and some of those great players and some of those role players that are tough. They've got Flint in their veins. And I think that that's been shining through. So James Edwards III of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JL Edwards. And then the Roman numeral 3 after that. Enjoy some hoops tonight. We'll let you off the hook for the rest of the night. And we'll do this again and talk Pistons sometime soon.
Man, let's do it. Appreciate you having me on, man. Love the show. You're my guy, man. Thank you.
Thanks again to James Edwards III. Doesn't get any better than that guy. And we appreciate him coming on a couple times. I think we bugged him at the airport one time. And he's been really gracious with his time. And a good friend and a great reporter for The Athletic. And pay it forward by not only just thanking James and telling him thanks for coming on, but subscribe to The Athletic. Keep guys like James Edwards and gals as well employed. And maybe consider that Detroit News, that Detroit Free Press subscription, MLive as well. A lot of hardworking folks delivering all the content. And yeah, we try to keep you guys informed with this daily podcast too. But guess where we get a lot of our content ideas, a lot of our content that we talk about, the discussion is from those journalists on the ground putting in the work day in and day out. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day. Talk to you guys tomorrow with Fridays with Brian.